10. I've got several places that I want to read and give you my thought as far as the message is concerned. Siri, be quiet. She's trying to talk to me. Exodus chapter 33. On Sunday nights here, past two Sunday nights or so, we have gone through together studying God's personal pronouns. We've talked about the subject of, you know, God in His Word says, "My grace is sufficient for thee." And He says, "My strength is made perfect in weakness." And I thought, man, this message lines up perfectly with that sermon series, "My Presence, My Presence." So this morning, I want to talk to you both on that subject, "My Presence," both with a C, "My Presence," God's presence with a C, and God's presence with a T. God's presence and God's presence. Exodus chapter 33 and verse number 14. This is Moses. He was at a place in his life where he couldn't go any further. He needed God to intervene with a clear message in his life or direction. How many of you have ever been to a place where you just, "Lord, I need you to show me"? Amen. Every one of us has been saved. Even the lost man, I think, has been a time or two in his or her life where they've just kind of been at their wits' end. "God, you've got to show me what to do next." Moses said, "I can't go on any further unless I know that you're going to be with me." And in Exodus chapter 33:14, we have one of the most precious verses in all the Bible. And he said, this is God speaking, "My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest." And Moses said unto God, "If thy presence go not with me, carry us up not hence." Moses was earnestly seeking assurance that God's presence would be with him to lead the people out to where they were supposed to go. And God promised him, "I'm going to be there. I'm going to be there for you, Moses. You can rely on me. You can count on me. I'm going to see through." Thank God he sent his presence to Moses. Now I want you to turn all the way to the New Testament. In Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1, verse 25. I'm on my way there too. Now this, of course, is one of the gospel records. How many gospel records do we have, church?
Four.
How many gospels do we have?
One.
There's only one gospel, but we have four gospel records.
Amen.
We say the gospel of Mark, the gospel of Matthew, but there's only one gospel. Amen?
Amen.
But God has chosen to tell us that gospel in four different vantage points, in four different personalities. In Matthew gives us a pretty good description of the nativity scene. Mark doesn't give us anything. Luke gives us the fullest description of the nativity and the birth of Christ. And John just goes on and says, "You know what? I'm going to go way beyond the birth. I'm going to tell you who he was. He was the Son of God. He was the creator of the world." Amen. But John really doesn't deal with the nativity scene. Matthew and Luke, just as a little tidbit of free information, are the only two gospel records that really elaborate on the nativity story of Christ. And each one has a unique presentation of the facts. No contradiction, but there's a unique emphasis in each. For example, Matthew gives us the story of Christ from largely, I think, from Joseph's standpoint of view, because he talks about Joseph's lineage. in chapter 1. Luke gives it from Mary's standpoint of view. In Matthew, you see wise men coming from the east to the scene. In Luke, you see the shepherds coming to the scene. So you have the rich and you have the poor. Isn't that cool how God's Word balances one thing out with the other? And many other things that we could say there, but that's beyond the meaning of the message this morning. Matthew chapter 1, verse 25, if you're there, say amen. This is the announcement of the birth of Christ, the angel of the Lord having appeared to Joseph. And in verse 23, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son. They shall call his name, help me out, church, Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. When you see the name Emmanuel, it means God with us. God's presence coming out of heaven to be with us.
Amen.
That's what they named Jesus. Verse 25, and Joseph knew not his wife until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Amen. Now turn to Luke chapter 1 and verse 76. Luke chapter 1, verse 76. This is the account of John the Baptist's father, Zechariah, was a priest, but he started to prophesy. The Holy Spirit of God came upon him, and he began to prophesy, John the Baptist being a cousin of Christ, Jesus. Elizabeth and Mary were related, and John the Baptist would be the forerunner, the one that would go to prepare the way of his cousin, according to the flesh, which was Jesus Christ. John the Baptist went ahead and prepared the way for Christ. And boy, wasn't he a fireball for the Lord. Even before his birth, Mary come over to see Elizabeth, and she had that big belly there with Jesus inside of her. And Elizabeth had a big belly with John the Baptist inside of her. She was a little bit further along than Mary was. But the Bible says that when they come to each other, that John, the Bible says, leapt inside of Elizabeth's belly. How many moms you've been pregnant, you feel a kick or you feel a jolt, or your child and your daughter later on has a Courtney recently had a baby, and it's just fun to feel, oh, he's kicking her, she's moving in there. Well, when Jesus came near John, buddy, he got excited and he left and thought, praise God, he started to worship inside the womb. Amen. Praise God. It'd be good for some of us every once in a while to leap up and shout and holler, praise the Lord. Amen. Thank God. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so.
Amen.
And so in Luke chapter number 1, this is Zacharias, and he prophesies, and thou child shalt be called the prophet of the highest, referring to his son, John the Baptist.
Amen.
For thou shalt go before the face of the Lord, referring to Jesus, to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of sins, through the tender mercy of our God. Listen now, listen carefully. Whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us. God's presence come down to visit.
Amen.
Thank God. To give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. To guide our feet into the way of peace. Zechariah said, we have a unique visitor. God has come to visit the earth. And then in chapter 2, verse 1, I'm going to do a little bit of reading here, so bear with us as we read. Luke chapter 2, verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the lineage of David. So he had to go where he had to pay his taxes. And his family had to go to Bethlehem to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife. She was being great with child. She was about to be delivered of her child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. Thank God she didn't go to the abortion clinic. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came unto them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said to them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Savior, Christ, Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward man. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. I know we've done quite a bit of reading this morning, but I want to really emphasize the fact that Jesus is God.
Amen.
God became flesh and dwelt among us, Emmanuel. Jesus was 100% man, without ceasing to be 100% God.
Amen.
That's just the way the Bible presents who Jesus is. The greatest gift this world has ever known is Jesus. And as we think about that, I want to use that on this day as we think about gifts. And I want to try to show you how Christ, God's presence, is a gift. And so, I'm going to try to preach as best as I can on that subject. How many of you have ever had a gift given to you that you were not very fond of? I read a statistic that the most popular, I would say unhelpful, but not wanted gift surprised to me. It was fruitcake. That is the most disliked gift. Now, somebody, you gave that this Christmas. I'm sorry. I don't know, so don't tell anybody you're saved. We'll all be saved. But that surprised me as I read that today. You know, there are certain things I was reading through, just for humor, certain things that we say when we get a gift that we really don't like. One person said, you know, I always wanted one of these. Jog my memory. What's it called again? There's gifts that we get and we think, how do I deceive this person and let them know that I wanted that gift when really that's not what we wanted? Well, I think that the same thing happens with Jesus. As a gift of God's presence to the world, to us and to you and me as individuals, we can look at that gift in all kinds of different ways. So I want to emphasize some thoughts about this. Number one, I got 7 points. I'm gonna just list them quickly. Jesus, God's presence, obviously is a unique gift. There's never been any gift like that ever given to this world. Never.
Amen.
And it's God's presence. You know about joy at Christmas, what it should be about. Peace. Now here's the thing. Love, happiness, giving and sharing, friends and family. Now, if that's not the case for you, that's unfortunately probably related to our sin nature and living in this sin-cursed world and being a part of this system of just working to make everybody else happy. But deep down inside, the inner longing of your heart knows that Christ came to give peace and joy, love, contentment. The world cannot buy that. You know, moms and dads, you know it truly well. Even if you didn't buy any of the Christmas gifts, like the rest of the guys, you know when your children, after 3 weeks or maybe less than that, have played with their toys, they'll lose it, misplace it, break it, neglect it, it'll be lost. And you've spent perhaps hundreds of dollars. I'm not saying that's wrong. We want to give to our kids, amen? Dads, moms. But the truth of the matter is, you can give them to something that, man, they're ready to clean the house, mom. They're ready to vacuum the floor for you. They're ready to make your coffee for you. They're so excited. They got this toy. But you know in the back of your mind, that's only going to last them for so long. You're almost in the back of your head counting down the days, especially when they're real little. You know, when they're little, like Bradley and Lindsay's kids and Luke, you know, they'll wear that thing out for a little bit, and they'll play with it good, but after that first week or two, it's just a piece of accessory in the house, and we're waiting to give it to someone else later on. Amen?
Amen.
But that's not how the thing with Christmas is. That love and that joy and that peace that God gives to the world in Jesus and His presence is so unique. Do you know of this gift, church? Have you ever seen this gift? Have you ever felt this gift in your heart?
Amen.
Well, that's what I always wanted. What's it called again? I'm not sure that you're realizing the significance of this gift.
Amen.
And I don't think most of the world understands the significance of God's presence being amongst men in Jesus Christ. I was reading that in 2013, when store salespeople and salespeople, they think that they only have 26 days to sell all of these things that they had in December. Black Friday and all that stuff going on. In 2013, still, they projected over $600 billion in sales during that season. They broke that down and said, worldwide, globally, that equates to every individual on the planet buying a gift worth $85 a piece. Worldwide, people don't even like Christmas. Just to fit the statistic of that number, $600+ billion spent at Christmas. All because God sent His Son. All because Jesus, the greatest gift, was given to the world.
Amen.
Look how we live during this time of the year. Now, I'm not saying it's always good and noble and right. Amen. I'm not sure the Lord be pleased with how much we charge on our credit cards half the time. Amen. Come on, don't dial me now. But hey, there's just something about this time of the year when it's unique. And I'm going to tell you, it's because God gave this world the greatest and most unique gift we have ever seen. It's unique. Number two, it's free. It's a free gift. In the Bible, Jesus was talking to a woman who had 5 different husbands. The man she was currently living with, she wasn't even married to. She was not a godly, upright person. She knew it. She wouldn't go out in public. If you read the story in John chapter 4, she didn't want to go out during the time that all the other women went out to draw water. She went out when no one would be there because she was embarrassed about her way of life. But thank God Jesus went to her well. Amen.
Amen.
And Jesus sat there and talked with her about the things of God. And as she talked to Him and He talked to her, man, He blew her mind. He did. She just couldn't understand. When He started saying these things, she said, how do you know these things? How could you know this about my life? And Christ told her, and I quote, John 4:10, if thou knewest the gift of God, if you only knew what I could do in your life, if you only knew the gift of God. I think she found out a little bit about that gift. Amen. Because she went back into her town. When she didn't want to talk to everybody in public, she became the greatest little evangelist that little town had ever seen, Brother Kevin. She went into that town and she said, folks, you got to come meet a man that told me everything that I've ever done. You wouldn't believe how much he knows about my life. They're probably like, yeah, honey, we all know about your life. You know, but she did. And she went and she was such a great evangelist. She brought that whole town, the Bible says, out to Jesus out there by that well. And I believe many of them probably got saved, amen, because of her obedience. Christ said, if thou only knewest the gift of God, if you only knew. Somebody was saying that the other day in their prayer. Was it Brother Philip or somebody was saying, man, it's just, if my coworkers only knew. You know, they think, well, Christmas is just this, it's just this, and it's gifts and eggnog and getting a little tipsy. And that's how the world thinks. You know, we just get to relax from work. And I understand that. And part of me, I get that. I understand that. But if you only knew, man, the real meaning of Christmas. If you only knew the real purpose of the present, the greatest gift the world has ever given, it's a free gift. Romans 5:15, 16, and 18 repeats that. It is the free gift. Salvation, Christ, is the free gift. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. The gift of God. In 2 Corinthians 9:15, and I quote, but thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. Paul said, I don't know how to explain it any more than what I can say. It's unspeakable. I can't even, it's indescribable. The gift of Jesus Christ, the salvation that I have, I can't even put words to it. You know what, friend? I would love, if I could, if I had a nice car, Brother Aaron, if I had a nice, whatever, I want to say Mercedes-Benz or Corvette convertible. I know your dad likes Corvettes. Corvette convertible, I mean Z71 XR blankety blank, whatever it has with it. Just a ripping and a roaring car. And let's say I had the money to buy it and I bought it, Aaron. And I want to come up to you and say, you know what, you snotty nosed little brat, I want you to have this car. Aaron, if you would buy it, Aaron would think, that is insane. No way. No way. And I said, Aaron, I want you to have this car. Your dad can play with it a little bit, but I want you to have this car. It's a gift I want to give to you. And Aaron, if he were to come out of his seat and take this key, I tell it, car's right out there. It's filled up. All you got to do is just have it. Use it. Put the gas in it. Make it work. Aaron, this is your car. This has got your name on it. Come and get it. Aaron would immediately, he'd run out of the, he'd hurt his mom and dad coming to get the key. Now I'd say, if he had the car and he'd spent, you know, got a few tickets in the first few hours out here on the road, running over some innocent bystanders and hurt the small children, if he were to come back and park their car, and somebody would say, how did you get this? He would say it was a gift. And then I may come and say, Aaron, what is that gift to you? He would say, oh, it means all of this and this and more. And I think that's wonderful. I'd say, Aaron, did you earn this gift? No. Aaron, did you pay for any of this gift? No. But it sure cost me a big dollar. That's what God did. Did it cost me anything? Well, yeah, in the sense of living for the Lord and being a Christian, but as far as the gift of God, no. It's not a works. It's a gift. And God says, would you like to have salvation? Would you like to be saved? Would you like to have your sins forgiven? Would you like to have the love of God? Would you like to have the promise of hope of eternal life? Would you like to not go into hell? God says, here's the gift. It's free. But how many people sit on their hands and think, well, what's everybody going to think? What if I can't live up to it? It can't be that easy. That's all works of the devil trying to prevent you from receiving a gift that cost God His Son. Amen. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Amen, church.
Amen.
Ephesians 2:8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. It's free. Number three, when you look at your Christmas gifts, children, adults, and some of you, how many of y'all, by the way, are going out later on to go do more Christmas stuff? Would you raise your hand? Amen. Good. Well, have fun. Enjoy. But when you look at those Christmas presents, I want you to imagine a present underneath the tree. How many of you will do that right now? Would you raise your hand? Can you imagine a Christmas present? I want you to imagine it right now underneath the tree as I explain the remainder of my message here. You can reject that gift. You can. You can reject it. Just like you can Jesus. You can reject Christ. You don't have to receive it. Your pastor may be saying, you need this gift. Your grandparents may say, you better get saved. Your mom and dad are saying, I hope you get this thing taken care of. Let us know if we can help. But we can't make you take the gift. You can receive it or reject it. And that's exactly what salvation is all about. That's exactly how it's presented in the Bible. And what did the world do with Jesus, Brother Kevin? What did He do? I mean, stop and think about it. What really did He do? He was born out of a stall somewhere, out of a cow's feeding trough. The swaddling clothes, if you'll look at it, probably had blood and things of the birth on it, stained on it, and that's how that she covered him. Jesus was beyond poor. His whole life, he lived out in poverty. What really did he do? He just continued to offer the world salvation. He continued to do God's will, and he dealt with the issue of sin that was in every human heart. And he dealt with that root issue that was a root problem of why men and women, boys and girls of all ages, do not love God. And he dealt with that issue, whether it was in the form of pride, religion, wickedness, adultery, fornication, drunkenness, covetousness. Christ told the truth to get people to see he was a Savior. If God didn't give us more technology, He would have sent us somebody to do that. If He wanted us to be rich and more wealthy, if that was our need, He would have sent us the greatest economist we'd ever seen. Greater than Mr. Trump. If God wanted to send us somebody that pitches a science, He would have sent somebody to deal with science. That's not what the need of the human heart is, my friend. If it's education that God thought we needed, He would have sent the greatest educator the world had ever known. But that's not the great need of man. We needed a Savior, and that's the God sent. You can receive or reject. Number four, this gift can be neglected. As I said before, there's many gifts that we have. There's gifts that I have, quite frankly. It's probably, you know, what do we do with gifts that we don't use? How do you put it up in a closet somewhere? Don't raise your hand, but that's what you do. Or you put it down in the basement in a box somewhere. Or some of you shove it up underneath the bed. Or you give it away. And if you get the receipt, you return it. Get the money. You get the money or get something else for it. You don't have to receive it, and if you do receive it, you don't have to use it. And so it is with Christ. How many people are there to this day that have a profession of Christ? They open that gift Oh, God's presence, Jesus. And then they just put it over here. You can do that. There's a lot of people that are doing that. It's just carnal nature, isn't it, Brother Kevin? Just to kind of let it get over here. It's almost like we naturally go away from what God wants us to do. We have a bent to constantly steer away. We have to use the gift. Brother Aaron, you don't have to receive the car. But if you want it, you may have it. Amen. You don't have to receive Christ. But you're going to be sorry if you don't. And He's going to satisfy every longing in your heart if you will receive Him. Amen. Somebody say amen right there. Let the church say amen on that. And not only have to use it. If you receive it, but you don't want any more of it, then that's your choice. I say, I want all of God's presence that He'll give. All the love and the hope and the joy and the peace, the fruit of the Spirit that comes from knowing God. I can't see Him. But again, we don't walk by sight. We walk by faith.
Amen.
I don't taste Him. I don't hear Him. But there are times the Bible says, I have tasted of the heavenly gift. Amen. And there are times when the Bible says that you can hear God's voice in the sense that it's used in Scripture. I want to see what this gift can do. Amen. Let's go take this thing for a ride. Let's get out of here in a time of the day when all the children are safely tucked away in their beds. And let's just see what this thing can do. Let's put this thing to use. Amen. Let's go some places. Hello? Let's go see the Grand Canyon and this stuff. We'll let Jason come with us. Amen. Bonnie too.
In a Corvette.
Let's go, huh?
In a Corvette.
Yeah, we'll cram y'all in the truck somehow, amen. Let's go see the beach, man. Let's go use this thing. Right? Are we using the gift of God's presence in our lives? Fifthly, one thing I love about this gift that God's given us of His Son, of His presence, is that it just gets better and better. Or as a country man may say, it gets gooder and gooder. Amen. Number six. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He's never changed.
Amen.
You and I are changing all the time. Some good and some bad. He's always the same.
Amen.
And again, that's the Bible. The Bible says that. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. The same Jesus that was offered 2,000 years ago. The same Jesus that was offered in types and patterns of the Old Testament is the same Jesus that I received. Thank God! When I was a little boy. It's the same Jesus that I'm preaching to the best of my ability to churches and folks today. And friend, it'll be the same Jesus to you. You may be different than me, and I'm different than you, but Jesus is the same. The same gift that made this person happy is the same gift that's going to make you happy. The gift doesn't change, but He does change you, and He changes me. Number six, He is the same for all. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And lastly, and I'm done. This is a gift that must be shared.
Amen.
This is the gift that must be shared. What do you do with the gift that you don't want? The only time you bring it out is say, look what they got me. I remember a specific time my younger brother got a gift. He wanted a PlayStation, Isaac. He wanted a big, fancy PlayStation. My younger brother. And I don't even think he was a teenager yet. No, me and my older brother, Josh and I were teenagers. Matthew, I think, was not there yet. And my parents got him a PlayStation, but it was like a compact PlayStation. We have it on video recording. when Matthew opens that gift, I mean, that's what he wanted. He wanted this PlayStation. It's a big one. You know, the 500 gigabyte or whatever it was, the heavy-duty one. And I still, to this day, I can see his lip just dropped to the floor. Dad, come upon him as he opened up that present. And it was a compact, it was supposed to be big and black and just crisp, and everything was just a gray miniature disc holder. And it was the funniest thing. I remember my parents looking at him and thinking, what is wrong with you? Does it play CDs? Does it work? And it's on video recording. I'd love to go catch up with Dad and Mom and watch that video. Just for that very, very purpose. And we burned that thing up. All four of us, three of us brothers, we burned that little PlayStation up. And it did just fine, by the way. But I will say this. When these shepherds, they weren't gifted orators. They weren't talented electricians. And these are just old shepherds. You know, cleaning slop off of the floor, picking briars out of, you know, sheep. Just herders. They weren't advanced farmers. They're just low shepherds. And out there sleeping with the sheep. And yet God opens up heaven to them. And says, the Son of God is not any greater to meet your need than anyone else's. Christ, angels could have went to Herod. They could have went to the great empirical leader of the Caesar of the day, but he chose to go out into a little field with some little sleeping sheep, and booing and hawing and yawning eyes and yawning mouths. They went to little shepherds and said, "Get up, boys! The Son of God is born in Bethlehem today." And they were so excited about it. Bible says they came with haste, and when they had seen, they made known abroad. They couldn't keep their mouths shut about it. When you love something, you can't stop talking about it. They wanted to share the gift with the world, and they did. Mary kept all of this. I mean, just as Mary's thinking, now, I'm sure she believed, but I'm sure also in her mind, is this possible? Is this really God in flesh? Is this really happening to me now? All these prophecies, is now, this year, the real deal here? And here come these wise men. Mary's just thinking, what have I gotten myself into? And here come shepherds out in the field and say, "Man, we just saw angels." Probably thinking, "Yeah, y'all are probably smoking some marijuana out there in the field. What'd you say you saw?" But no, she saw an angel. Joseph saw an angel. Wise men saw a star. Shepherds seeing angels. Boy, she looked at that baby and thought, "What are you going to be able to accomplish? What are you going to be able to do?" She kept it to her heart. Church, I think we need to apply it to our heart. We need to stop and think, man, what kind of gift do we have in Jesus? Amen. In our Christian faith, in the Word of God. We have God's presence. What a blessing. Let's share it with the world. I don't care if you're a talented orator, sharing with the world. And I don't care if you're a humble shepherd, share him with the world. Amen. Let's do that. Let's be busy with sharing Christ with the world.
Amen.
I'll close with this, brother. I did encourage you to take one gospel tract and hand to one person. By show of hands, how many were able to do that? That's a blessing. I hope God bless your heart for it. Brother Lee, he come up to me and he said, "Hey," he said, "Brother Housley," he said, He said, oh, I forgot about my gospel tract. He said, but I went to get McDonald's on the way to church, or he stopped at a gas station, or it was a drive-thru window or something. I hope it was fast food. He said, Brother Housley, I stopped and got some fast food, and I remembered the day was the last day. I was on my way to church, and I found that gospel tract, and he said, he just told the lady, he said, my pastor told me to hand out one of these, and you're the person to enter into it. And he took the tract and went on. Amen. And on that track, it said, God's Christmas gift, or the greatest gift, or something with a present about Jesus on it.
Amen.
Get you a gospel track. Share Christ with the world. Give a gift that keeps on giving. Gets good or good. Amen. How many of you have received the gift of Christ? Would you say amen?
Amen.
What a blessing. Let's stand to our feet. We'll be dismissed. Thank you so much for being a part of our service this morning. I hope it was a Brother Ed, Sister Pat, it's good to have you a part of our church family. Merry Christmas to your household, and God's blessings be upon you. Whitney, Josh, it's so good to see you guys. God bless you. Jared, it's always a blessing to see you and your precious wife back there. You got the babies here today? No? Well, praise the Lord. Awesome. Y'all have a good day, brother. God has blessed us with a good day today.
Amen.
Let's make it a God-filled day, the rest of the day, okay? No fighting, no fussing. Children, are you listening to the pastor? No fighting over toys. If dad's got to assemble, if grandpa or dad's got to assemble something, try to help him or get out of his way. Amen, Brother Philip? Amen. All right. Okay. I love you, church. And I was surprised that we had so many of you be able to show up on our Christmas service. And just again, we just wanted to offer the service to you. How many of you love Jesus?
Amen.
Amen. Let's go share it with the world.